Okay, welcome back. Thank you for closing the door. We will now start the session on user reports or case studies on ATM applications which we could bring into relation with open source. The first speaker is Gilles Gabinowski. He's a researcher here at the Experimental Center. He has a background in nuclear chemistry and computer science, and later specialized also in human factors. He will talk about two issues. It is an attempt at creating a forum on open source for ATC, air traffic control, part of ATM, and on a specific product which found wide adoption in the ATM community. It's called AudioLAN. But I'll leave that to Gilles. Thanks.
Okay, so I will report experience on OpenLTC and AudioLAN. For AudioLAN, for me, it's coming back 10 years ago, in 1995, when I started to work on voice over IP system to be applied for air on-ground communication for the ATM. At this time, voice over IP was not known. It was a pioneering technology. And for us, it was to investigate how we can use this technology to be applied in our domain. At this time, there was two kernels developed from an OSS philosophy, and these both kernels were developed at Berkeley and in RIA, Sophia Antipolis. And we work with these two bodies, and we take these two kernels to be able to develop our radio and telephone system. That is interesting for us now, is that we need to customize this piece of software to fulfill the capability, the function of this software with our requirements in terms of function, but also in terms of environment. For example, to have a supervision tool, a recording tool, in terms of architecture for software maintenance purpose, and also with industrialization, with outsourcing objectives. In fact, the assumption that we made this morning about the quality of open source, I think it's maybe not so black and white, maybe it's gray. And for us, for example, what was interesting is to get free software, software with academic and research institute put a strong effort to try to provide a technology, voice over IP, but in terms of quality, in terms of architecture, in terms of language use, maybe it was not appropriate with our needs and with some industrialization issues. Nevertheless, for us it was a success because it was deployed in several European cities, and today I think there are about 500 positions. Well, but in fact we proposed the freeware to industry and research center to try to disseminate our results, and in fact it went, because I think we signed about close to 10 license agreements, and this license agreement was just to say, okay, take this software for free, but if you made some, if you had for example some new function or you made some evolution for the software, we will be interesting to have the additional piece of software that you develop. So to have a win-win mechanism, but we give you for free our product. And when after we look at the industrialization, I will explain for us the industry is the link between the research and the clients. And in fact, that we observe, they recustomize the function depending of new customer requirements, and they re-engineer the architecture design. And in fact, that we propose as a white box became, after, again, a black box, okay? So why? Because, in fact, sometimes some ambiguity about, for example, for us, a research center and the public research centers, about our objective or mission. When we try to develop something interesting, some new technology, for example, and that is interesting, is that this technology will be used by our clients, okay? It's our main mission, and we need to take into account some issues as the support, the installation, and the maintenance, or to make evolution of the software, okay?
The role and the mission of a research public center is to make innovation and to promote this innovation, but not to become an industrial-like actor and to make this activity of support installation and to respond to the client requirements in terms of software evolution. So we need the industry at one stage, and when the industry starts to play in this game, the philosophy are changing. The problem is that for us, the industry is a key factor to promote and use our research, but at the end, the open source philosophy is lost, and from our experience, is totally lost, because each industrial which gets our software has re-customized, re-engineered, sometimes fully the software, and they made a black box. The cost remains the same for the clients, because the industry, the added value that they provide is in terms of quality process, documentation, to provide support, responsiveness, and for the client, just again, is just one more innovative product that the research is pushing for. Okay, and for example, in our case, it has been to move from a traditional telephony system towards internet technology with voice over IP. After this story, 6 years ago in 1999, we tried to push this idea of open software in our community. In fact, that we try to achieve is to stimulate the air traffic control research and development by providing an easy way to share resources. And for that, we create a website for free software, and it was both with Eurocontrol and the SDR, former SENA, the French research part for the air traffic management. And behind this idea to share free software is to try to create a community of researchers, but not just software, but more operational, able to discuss together, to try to have some ideas or to exchange ideas about future air traffic management system, which is our main role. But in fact, that we observe at the beginning of this story, each body was very enthusiastic to put as free software interesting piece of software. But rapidly, that we observe is that depending on the strategical value that they put on the different pieces of software, they put some part of their work. Okay? And the story is funny because when they try to distinguish what is really about some value about software, they distinguish the fact that some software was about high value, and at this time they try to make some deal with the industry in order to get money. Okay? So I think very often open source is a very nice philosophy, but when we have some more concrete constraints in terms of political, strategical issues, and at the end about money also, the philosophy, the things, the way at the beginning they see the things change.
Okay. Gilles, can you please define freeware? For me, freeware is not open source software, neither free software.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know your definition.
But not for me, because I'm not a specialist, but that we observe that for everybody, this question of open source freeware, there are a lot of definitions. A lot of people have their own perception and understanding about that they mean. I will come back because I will explain why maybe an ambiguity between the objectives that we would like to have as a public research center and piece of software and the open source philosophy.
So from what, because you said that some people put software on the side as freeware, so what I read from there is that some people put some binaries on a site license, free of charge.
Code binary, all the package, free of charge.
Right, so they didn't even give a license, so in theory that binary couldn't be used.
Yeah.
So it was there, but you couldn't use it.
There is no license, there is no constraints.
Right,
okay.
But if there isn't a license, you can't use it.
Yeah, but
But
the objective was to create a community. It's not open source for open source. Okay. The problem, because it's failed, the problem is that we see is there is no enough ATM research mass. In fact, we fail to create a community. And we try to promote, we try to make some publicity dissemination of the objectives that we like to achieve and so on. We fail. And in fact, when I analyze the past 10 years, in fact, the landscape changed drastically due to several reasons. The number of research centers, at least in Europe, decreased dramatically. In fact, today, real research, public research centers, I think, with a sufficient mass, are only two in Europe, and in the past it was more. So now there are a lot of research centers which became more IT service provider, IT more private company. The fact that the politic, the core business change, and in fact there are a refocus on the core business, and it's no more software development. And for example, if I take the example of the experimental center, there are about close to 300 people. 10 years ago, there are a lot of software engineers. They recruit a lot of software engineers. Myself, I'm a software engineer. And today, there is maybe there are some exceptions. I've not in mind, but no more people, software developers here. And we're just manager or more people who work more on the operational issues. And also, there the invented at-home issue and the pleasure to reinvent the well. In fact, there are a lot of duplication of work in our area. I remember 6 years ago, there are a lot of body of person interested to work in this open source philosophy. And a lot of people say, I have a software. And for me, the same thing, I also have a software. And for me, it's the same thing. But at the end, they are just interesting to promote their software, and not interesting if their colleague has the same kind of software to try to get it and to forget their own development. It's the life. Several years after is the same story. So, about ATM research in general. In fact, 6-7 years ago, there are a lot of European Commission project initiative to try with the key players, the industry, the research center, the IT air traffic management or air traffic control service provider to build, to have these different bodies together and to try to work on the interoperability and plug and play. Okay? I say that it was a dream because several years after, it's totally failed. Again, there may be some exception, but that the different projects would like to achieve fail. Why interoperability and plug and play? Okay, when you say what's the
definition of freeware.
Okay, and freeware. And for people, more important is to try to standardize the middleware and the API. It was the idea they had, I think, 6-7 years ago. So to work on the middleware and the API. And to force the industry to standardize at least these two components. And today, after several European projects, we try to push this idea. We can observe that the industry is not playing the game. Okay, they have been involved in these different projects, in fact, to observe, maybe to learn something, and also to capture the European money. But at the end, there are no example of any industry. There is no standardized middleware or common middleware. Again, today, each industrials are their own middleware. And maybe they are their reason. It's not to say it's good or not, it's the situation. And for the API, it's again not really followed by the industry. I would prefer to say it's not followed by the industry. In terms of application that we try to achieve in the OpenATC initiative, it's a lot of duplicated effort and no really application share with this idea of community working together to try to push just one application shared by the different body. So, in terms of middleware, in terms of API and the application, I think maybe there may be some success, but if there was, it was very limited. But when we observe the situation today, we need to recognize that we failed. And the question remains for me, what is the future for open source? Whatever the interest and quality of open source products, and as I say, sometimes the quality is not here in open source, because very often there are the opposite between the industry with the idea of Microsoft and the research and the academic part to believe that one part will be able to provide more quality and less expensive and so on. And I'm not sure that is still the reality. Maybe there are a lot of examples, but also we have a lot of examples which are not going on the way of open source. Anyway, the more important at one time is that we have critical issues to assure a good architecture in terms of engineering. The functional interfaces, API maybe, are more interesting than just to be able to have the code on binary of a software. And this question of support and to have the software evolution in terms of function. Also, the problem is that we have no, as I said, no mass ATM research. We have a drastic production of research center. When I talk about research, it's from medium term to long term. Now it's more maybe some center, but not research center, just to make short-term study oriented toward cost-benefit, short-term cost-benefit. Okay. A lot of privatization or corporatization. Also, the question of outsourcing. For example, we are still a research center, or maybe here, but I think the main part of IT has been outsourced. So anyway, software development is no more representing for us our core business, and this was different 10 years ago. And also to say that very often our perception that OSS is just opportunity, okay? Freeware, this idea, this philosophy just to capture client, and then after capturing the clients to become proprietary, we have this kind of example also. To capture clients just seduced by the free religion, okay, why not? But I think our question should be not this question of philosophy of religion, c'est what should be the benefit and the added value to try to push open source in our environment, in our specific environment, and also to make software free, sometimes by commercial opportunity. But as I said, our market is very small, just a few key players in the industry, and maybe it's the reason why there are no, at one time, one industrials who are interesting to try to have a commercial opportunity with this kind of open source approach. For me, but it's personal, but it's also maybe a little bit provocative for you to have a debate. I think it's something more interesting. For me, there is no sign of evidence for an OSS future in our area. What's the objective to have an open source approach? Outward this question, and that I would prefer is to look at our objectives, and at minimum, our objective is to, there are performance requirements made by stakeholders and users in terms of future ATM system, in terms of traffic capacity, efficiency, safety, security, environmental constraints, and so on. Okay, there are some performance requirements. And our research objective is to try to fulfill these requirements in creating something useful. Okay, but after that, more interesting to move from the research to the implementation, to the reality, to the concrete part, is to make it public, transparent, understandable, available, okay? And maybe there are some ambiguity because it looks like as OSS philosophy, but maybe it was nothing to deal with open source. And also, I noted it because at the beginning, I was a computer science guy. I've been involved a lot in technology. Technology, I was technology oriented, and also trying to make some initiative in this area. But for me, the research problem is not a technological one. Okay, it's my feeling. I think there are a lot of people thinking that maybe it needs to be technological driven. But for me, it's not the main issue. The main issue is an operational one. In fact, our problem today is that we try to cope with are not technological one, but for me, operational. Okay, it's why I'm not sure, or I don't see why and how an open source approach can provide something really concrete, useful, and something able to really pushing this part of creation or innovation, and also how this approach can really answer properly our problem.
Chief operate. Yeah. Define operational for me in this context.
The operational, okay. At the previous presentation, when you talk about the air and ground part with the safety critical issue, and you say, for example, for avionics, we have Boeing and Airbus design, just two design, and we have a lot of design, for example, in the European countries. Okay, we have, I think, about 50 different ground systems, okay, compared to the two systems in the avionics.
55-0.
Yeah, at least. Because in the avionics, for the aircraft manufacturer, the design is driven by the manufacturer because it's a technical object, the aircraft. In our area, it's totally different because the requirements are driven by the user and human, because the ground system is essentially based on the human operator and its human ability to manage the system. So the first for external body, the first perception is that it's a very technical system. But in fact, when you look in detail this system, it's a human system. So it explains why maybe it's different between the air and the ground. Sorry, I forgot your preliminary question.
And it's what you define operational.
Yeah, to come back to that. In fact, this human part is very essential, and that when we talk about this word of operational, it's the modus operandi, is how okay. This teamwork, these different human operator bodies are, that in fact it's more related to the working methods than the technological issues.
So operational is modus operandi or modus vivendi?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions?
I strongly support Gilles in this presentation. If you look at how ATC is done today, it is basically not different on how it was done in 1970. So the controller is behind the screen and he sees where the aircraft approximately was 5 seconds earlier. But in 1970 we had screens that only could produce a green label, and now we have a color display that produces a green label, but with less resolution. It's every 5 seconds you get an update and say, I think the aircraft was there.
We've got sport codes as well. That's the answer is 1970.
But
so
the Mastek,
which aircraft we're looking at?
The Mastek, we had that already. So Mastek, I mean, I was referring to the Mastek system. The Eurocontrol Mastek system was the best one in the world.
Let's take us back to the open source aspects.
I cordially invite you to be too much detail about how air traffic control actually works before I get on a plane again. No, I wanted to make a comment on the presentation, particularly the failure of OpenATC, which to me seemed to be a failure of community, not of technology. The way I would characterize it is that OpenATC turned into, this might be a defined translation, but a show and tell. You do show and tell, you bring it in and say, oh, look what I've done. And I would argue, since you were provocative in your statement, I'll be provocative in return, I'll argue that the likely cause of that failure is your final slide. Mm-hmm. Because your objectives, as you stated them, was to build something useful and make it publicly available and transparent. And that's not how open source builds value. It's the other way around. It's you make it open and available and transparent, and hopefully that community will build something useful. If you have a situation where you have a group of essentially closed teams building their software and then going off and saying, look what we've done, and turning a deaf ear to any response, of course there's no value. It's only if you're willing to take that chance, and that goes back to what John Paul was saying earlier, that show your mistakes. That's how you're going to learn. That's how you're going to leverage it.
You're right. I share your view. But for me, it's really a problem of mass, a problem of the community of... is there any community, the size, their interest? When I worked 10 years ago on Voice over IP, I was very surprised about the number of people in the world working on this subject. Really impressive, really impressive. And when I compare, I think, for example, in Europe, I'm not sure there are more than 1,000 researchers in our area. Maybe it's an optimistic value, okay? And 1,000 researchers, And if I take just a part of software, I think it should be very small. So there is this question. With a small community to be able to make something. Mm-hmm.
Why could you not mandate that the APIs should be published or that the APIs should be more standardized? Why couldn't that be part of the contracts when it's industrialized? This is not clear to me.
Yeah, in fact, there are some initiatives, for example, with Artas. To fund the industry, but after there is this problem of monopoly. Or we will try to regulate the market, the industry market, okay, and it raises problems. Or we try not to make anything in this market, to market the running itself. And at this time, it's the situation today, and at this time, for example, in Europe, I think there are just 2-3 key players, industrial players, okay? 3 players, and they are not interested to try to have standardized API. Because there are some concurrents, right, and they try to get more clients developing proprietary solution.
Yeah. Maybe it's also a bit our responsibility by who we invited here today. Jim was talking that like 10 to 7 years ago there was a lot of pressure from the Commission and from Eurocontrol to establish common middleware so that the individual products would become more modularized and you could recombine it as a client, as a service provider, you could recombine the software from several suppliers more easily because we would have APIs and a common middleware. We invested quite a lot of that, and Brittini here was a leading player in that. Since then, we've seen that this has not taken up, has not been taken as we were hoping for. There has been a long-going project, even started shortly afterwards, to address architectural issues. So to establish a common architecture, common modularity in Europe, and APIs to follow there. And we have not invited them here today because maybe we are underestimating the value. I'm still not clear how to link it to open source. We're underestimating the value of this drive to come to architectural descriptions, to share those, and to APIs. But maybe we have to discuss that further today. Now I have a question. First in the back, and then you.
No, it's not a question, it's just an appreciation. I think you show us a big picture of the past, because the development of this application were at least national. And now with the Europe, we drive the research and perhaps the application. We have a centralized application for all the Europe. And at this time, the things can change and evolve to the correct way.
Maybe.
For me, there are some points in the discussion missing, because we are always discussing from a user's point of view why open source software is relevant or useful, but the point is missing, why should the industry support open source software? Where is the interest for the industry to support this concept? Of course, they are also using open source software to produce their products, but that's only one side. Why should they make their products open, and where is the real business case for them or us to do that? And I think that is missing. And you are only discussing the issues where you have the research result that is given to the industry, but the industry is also developing something, and this has to be paid for. And so if you make this open source, you would increase the maintenance costs, for example, because you have to put the development costs in this point.
Can we maybe leave that question in the middle, because we have a few interventions later today that will talk from an industry viewpoint on how they see this evolution. So, the question.
Why did this common architecture, this common middleware approach not work? Was it mainly for technical reasons, or was it mainly for, let's say, political reasons?
Political? No, technical. There are the different platforms. I think it's not a technical problem.
Yeah. I think
that's the answer I expected, because if you had problems to have a community to solve the political problems in this middleware or architecture case, you will have even bigger problems with an open source community. So don't expect too much from a community. We always hear the wonderful community, everybody is making wonderful contributions. But in our experience, 99% of the community is just greedy and wants your work. Sorry, but that's the hard experience of a lot of people doing open source.
We see many open source projects which are used by large players with huge resources to contribute something, but in many cases you do not even get a thank you. They do not even provide a success story to prove that the software is valuable for them. So a lot of open source communities consist now of groups working closely together, and in many cases they just ignore the requirements or wishes of the greedy community.
I think that for middleware it's relatively clear that it hasn't taken off. For the architecture, I think the verdict is still out. This project has started later, and so it's still unclear whether people are willing to adopt a common architecture in Europe, a common modularization of the ground system. That still has to be seen. But it takes me back to the Audiolan situation, where Jill said we gave this software to the market, 10 people adopted it, and completely re-engineered and rendered it proprietary. For me, that is still unclear why that happened, what went wrong in that scheme.
Requirements. New requirements because they have new clients, and also just this question to reinvent the way. For example, for the industry, I meet different engineers who have been involved in the Audiolan customization in the industry body, and in fact it was an engineer as I was 15 years ago, just for the pleasure to have a better solution, to have a clean architecture. Anyway, it's this question to reinvent the web.
Maybe we have to come back when we discuss the business model, because it relates, I mean, it doesn't make business sense to reinvent just for the pleasure of it. But I had a question. You first, then.
Important observation. I think there's two areas where open source can work in the technology lifecycle. Arthur D. Little consultant, this rather nice description of the of technology is coming, initially emerging research prototype stage. And then pacing and key where it gets taken up, and then base where everybody's got it and it's just kind of there and it's a commodity. And pacing and key is where you make the money, that's where you can get a competitive advantage from it. And so open source tends to work well in the other sectors, where first the research prototype stage, which is your own controls interest, where it's emerging, and the other end, where it's a base technology, which is where your own control isn't looking for, as I can see. And so, for example, if we were looking at creating an open source radar surveillance or open source flight data processing, you know, just the basic functionality of ATM to replace the proprietary end packages, then I think that might be a goer. But expecting to have successful open source projects in technologies that are currently pacing and key, I think your point earlier about why would the suppliers allow this, well, they won't. So I think that we need to look at those two areas separately. We're looking at the research area and how we can productize effectively the research by making it open source. But we also need to look separately at how we can trigger off open source projects in the base technology areas.
I think we should include both in the scope of this discussion.
Philippe Lassard from the French Navigation Service Provider. I guess that the level of constraints and issues which are derived from this competitive situation depends on which level of software we address. Let me take a few examples. If we consider the operating system or the graphic libraries, I guess that all the ATM community would like to benefit from less costly software. And when I was in charge of the ATC training simulation platform, we assessed the possibility to migrate from Unix to Linux, because the hardware was too expensive and we knew that we would face a maintenance issue for these machines. So let's say we assessed these two options, and obviously we chose to migrate to Linux, and then we faced technical problems, but it's another part of the story. The other example is TKZinc, which is an open graphic library based on OpenGL and which is open source for the use to the ATM community. But at the other side of this, say, of this span, if we get closer and closer to the, let's say, the core business of ATM, which are the working methods and the tools, obviously, like the, let's say, conflict detection and resolution algorithms are really the core business of industrials. And I think that this may be the limit of what we call the ATM community and the open source principles.
It's a good example. You take Zinc, which is the graphical library, okay? And it was consistent with some strategy 10 years ago, But now, with the research centers which are disappearing, they are moving from research to short-term studies to focus on core business. This kind of activity to develop graphical library, which I think very interesting, very useful, maybe today is no more relevant in the, or will be no more relevant in short-term strategy. And just to explain why, what is relevant to think about open source 10 years ago is maybe changing to today.
Another way to read back what you said is that the French current ATM R&D strategy is maybe a bit different from the others in Europe.
Yeah.
Because so far we still consider that on essential topics like HMI or graphics, we still need some innovative capabilities.
Okay, thank you very much. In the interest of time, we have to stop for the moment the discussions. Yes.